and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 259. Oh, so close to a mini milestone. Jonathan, sorry about that. No, it wasn't your fault and it wasn't my fault. Right, situation was somebody, Mike, it's his job to turn the chat on, but obviously he's just about to go live with the Brooklands News. So I'm sitting there, I opens my chat, got no chat. So I said, have you opened the chat? Yes, of course I have, he says. Never believe a man. So I said, well, I can't see it. So he goes back to the page that he's just been on his machine and says, oh, I hadn't clicked save. So he'd made it active, but you've got to hit save. So as he's hitting save, I thought I'll just refresh, which I did, and dive in first. So I was first, technically, but Jonathan, honorary first, because apparently I don't count. When Kim the umpire's in, oh, Kim's in, I don't count. So to Jonathan there. Right, Mike's headed off now to do the news. He's called the news my dingling. I do wonder what these Catinians think of him. Anyway, hello, Jonathan. Honorary, you're first. Hello, Kim. Hello, Paul. How is it down there? We've been told our tears are being sunsetted. Oh, Google's... Boris has been Googling words, hasn't he? Sunsetted. On the 3rd of February. Only to stave off a revolt by his backbenchers. Do you know, Simon would be proud of me because I nearly said revolting. No, he's not a big fan of the Conservative Party. The revolting backbenchers. Hush, I mean the backbenchers in revolt. However, you could take that either way. Just saying. CQ Deb. Ah, Jonathan's given himself a little award there. I think you should have a suite for that, Jonathan, as well. Right. Who else have we got? We've got... I think we're all in now. Oh, thank you, Kim. I count in your hearts. Jonathan's heard that. Tears over by February. Will COVID be done by February? Well, no, Jonathan. No. He's playing politics with this. I mean, Sage have already come out today and said... Who remembers Different Strokes from the early 80s? Jonathan won't. But basically, his backbenchers, the Sage people, who were the medics, have come out and said, what are you talking about, Willis? Jonathan, you need to YouTube that if you've never seen it. It was this lovely little lad called Arnold, and he used to look at his brother in complete incredulity, going, what are you talking about, Willis? It was brilliant. Well, that's what the Sage people have done to Boris. Like, it'll all be over by February. What planet you on, Boris? What you talking about, Boris? Oh, you definitely need to go and see that. Ah, Tracy's here. Excellent. I'd missed one. Sorry, Tracy. And we don't have the Simons yet. But they usually come in later when they've eaten. Right. So what's going on here then? Will it be done by February? No, it won't. No, let's not be silly. They'll say then... We're coming out of tears. You know, like we're coming out of lockdown on Wednesday, straight into another one. We're coming out of tears on the 3rd of February and we're going into levels. We're going into levels in February. And do you know what the levels are? Exactly the same as the tears. I just think it's stupid. And why are the backbenchers in revolt or revolting, depending on how you're looking at it? Because do they want their constituents to die? Do they want the NHS overwhelmed? I don't understand the logic of the backbenchers, to be honest. It's not like... Do you remember when they brought out that slogan? Keep alert. Stay alert. For what? You can't see it. It's as ludicrous as that. They're just arguing over semantics. So... We're symbiotic now, Paul. Yep. What you've got to do is think, what's the most ludicrous thing they could do? And that's what they'll do, with knobs on. There you go. Do you think Carrie bought it for him, Jonathan? A lovely thesaurus, nice and large. And then Boris understands that tears slightly different to levels. Now, when we come out of levels, what will we go into then? Do you think it'll be layers? I wonder when we'll get down to chunks. We're just in different chunks. Maybe they want everybody vaccinated by February. Well, would that that were possible, Kim, but the vaccination people are saying not till May. So we're going to have something in February. Might as well be layers as anything else. Levels. Layers come after that. People were... Oh, zones, that's a good one, Kim. Yeah, let's think of all the words we can that mean exactly the same as tiers and levels and zones, and we'll be sorted till next Christmas. That is very true, Tracy. Since the backbenchers are nipping off to isolated mansions, she doesn't think they care about their constituents. I don't think they do either. But I still can't understand why they're in a flap over whether over what tier that their constituents are in, when the whole essence of them, they're not punishment. They're based on statistics of what's happening locally. Should we have been in a level three? I mean, don't forget here, we came out of lockdown, I'm air quoting here, on the 4th of July, which was a darn stupid day to do it because everybody said Independence Day and out they all trotted. And that's why we are where we are today. But it was the 4th of July. 25 days later, Manchester was put into a tier three lockdown. Unceremoniously, no questions. That's what it was. It was a lockdown. 29th of July. We have been there ever since. We've not moved. They might call it different things, but the principle's the same. Don't leave the house. So I would be the first one to be complaining about how long we've been in this, because Manchester has been in this the longest. There was 3 weeks where we were still told to be incredibly careful, but the original first lockdown was over, and just before they put us into another one, 25 days, that's it. So 25 days since the 23rd of March, and you've got some little blue-rinsed woman in Kent complaining. Come up here and try it, love. It's cold as well. I don't get it. And the backbenchers, well, they're just barking. And it isn't even just the backbenchers. Our own MP, who is the most senior backbencher in the country, who is Graham Brady. He is chair of the 1922 committee. Don't ask, it's the Tory party. Of course, they're weird. Basically, head honcho of the... Yeah, he's a bit like a little posse, isn't it? Well, he's head honcho of the backbenchers, and he doesn't agree with a lockdown full stop. What planet's he on? Let's just let everybody out, shall we? I don't understand it. Right, I'm going to have a look at that link while I catch up on the chat. You're not at all sure altering our DNA is the safest way of immunising us. Well, no, neither am I. Absolutely. Right, let's have a look at what Jonathan's got. Whoa, we're pigeonholes. I like pigeonholes. Oh, I'm loving this. Pigeonholes, definitely. Echelons, nobody would be able to say, because most people are completely uneducated. Where do you hear the word echelon these days? I doubt anyone could pronounce that other than older people or educated people. There's a lot of that leaves that. Yeah, there's 2% of the population. That leaves the rest. I watched a video the other day, one of my true crimers. She's a lovely girl. I think she's 21, 22. Lovely girl. But if you're going to talk about strychnine poisoning, what did she call it? Strychnine. Yeah, no. As a true crimer, you should probably be able to pronounce strychnine. Oh, I'm loving that though, echelon, yeah. File, I don't think you'd get away with. Group, you might. I wouldn't have thought bank for tier though. But pigeonhole's what he'll go for. Oh, we could be a league like the Red-Headed League. They definitely can't say rank, because that has rather dodgy connotations, so they can't say that. Stratum. Now, that would be good. That would definitely be good. Story. Well, they've been telling their stories for months. I'm loving those. I reckon we've got at least six to eight of those are completely usable. They'll have us in different groups. Then they'll grade the country. Oh, yeah. This will go on forever and ever. But you heard it here first. Tears? No, not after February. We won't be in tears after February. Well, we will, but not spelled that way. So, Trey, Kim's concerned about the mRNA. Is that what we call the MRA? Or is that a different one? What's it for? I'm quite happy in the house. I don't need to be injected with anything, for anything. If I just stay away from people, if I do everything virtually, I'll be fine. Oh, it's one of the COVID vaccines. Protein translations and modulating innate and adaptive immunogenicity. I'll put that in. Tracy will put it right with it. I've got immunogenicity, I think. What on earth does that mean? Immunising via genes, maybe. Or an adaptive vaccine. Adaptive to the individual person. I'm not leaving the house. I've forgotten about Zika. And I remember going to France. I was only, how old was I? 12. And I remember my mum saying, as she's waving me off, don't go near any dogs, they might have rabies. Thing was, when I came back, I'd only been back about 2 or 3 months, and the BBC had one of these dramas on that they have. And it was all about rabies, and it was absolutely terrifying. I don't know why. Oh, I mean, travelling with pets must be a nightmare. You'd be petrified, because don't they have to be, Tracy will know this, don't they have to be immunised on a pet passport? I mean, I've no idea what will happen when we Brexited. But don't they have to be immunised on the way in and out or have a passport? Because I remember somebody who took 2 dogs out there. They didn't have the passport. They'd lost the passport on the way back in. So the dog was immunised on the way out, and then, because of some snafu with the paperwork, needed to be immunised on the way in. The poor dog obviously didn't know what day of the week it was, because by then it had had like 3 times the dose it should have done. Travelling with pets, I don't think I could cope. Let's put it like that. I thought it was strychnine. Strata. Well, definitely this one wasn't right. Shame it wasn't arsenic. That would have been far easier. But unfortunately, it wasn't. You wish you'd saved the link, but someone on Twitter changed the name of their home Wi-Fi to COVID-19 microchip testing mask. Just to mess with the conspiracy theories. Oh, Jonathan, I've got a spare airport. In fact, I've got 2. And I could probably, if I reprogrammed the Express, make 3 of those. I could dot them around and really play with their mind. We're bad, aren't we? What would be fascinating with that would be to see what happened, whether somebody would get onto the local paper or whether they'd try connecting to it or something. Oh, that would be fabulous. You see, you can make your own entertainment at home, can't you? You can have hours of endless fun. It could actually pay the neighbour back for this afternoon. What was he doing this afternoon? What else does he ever do? DIY with his drill. What's he drilling? I've no idea. There can't be an inch of the house left he hasn't already drilled. But he was drilling again. Like some complete muppet. My strata. Oh, right. OK, well, that's a northern thing. That's a northern thing. Well, vaccines are not DNA vaccines. Let me come up. Dogs in the UK, in the US, must be quarantined. Yeah, this was a, it was actually for money, this, Kim, as per usual. Dogs and everything had to be quarantined on the way into the UK. I don't know whether this change was based on something the UK wanted or whether it was because we were in Europe, but this pet passport scheme came in. But the biggest, I mean, obviously then you could take your pets on holiday with you, which you couldn't before, so that bit's good. If you choose to do that. But the other thing that happened was, whereas Crufts, which is the biggest dog show in the UK, was all UK dogs, because you couldn't bring dogs from other countries and have them in quarantine for 6 months. So it was all UK dogs. All of a sudden, it was opened up to every dog on the planet. And now the UK dogs go and get a look in. It's like dog tourism. They bring champions from all over the world so they can then be cross champion. But the British dogs can't go all over the world because when they came back, then they it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. But that's what happened. Hello, Anthony. How much are those pet passports? I've only ever seen one. I've never had the need to do it. You can go to Scotland without one. And Wales. Mayo went to Wales. Lola's not been to Wales yet. But obviously, at the minute, you need a passport to go up the street. Seriously. The police in the UK, you're going to love this. The police in the UK arrested a couple and then gave them a fine because they were delivering Christmas presents. And obviously, we're in a national lockdown. So when they pull them up in the car with where you're going, what you're doing, and the back of it looked like Santa's sleigh, they said, we're taking round our Christmas presents. That was it. They're now minus however much they got fined for doing it. Oh, Kim, no, you're not going to die. You can't possibly die. We won't have it. Oh, can you imagine Kiva? You should have seen Lola the other night. She dived in here like she'd not seen me in a month. Jumped all over me, jumped all over Mike. Got lots of treats. I can't imagine if she came in and you weren't here. Ooh, an mRNA vaccine preliminary report. Lisa Jackson. Is that the one you mean? I shall leave that there and have a read of it. Oh, this takes me back to when I was doing all of the research for a case on Myodil, which was a drug, it's a contrast agent given to take milligrams, which are semi-invasive. Well, it's not an invasive procedure taking the imagery, but the invasive part of it is the contrast agent, which was oil-based, which they injected into people's spines. Let's just say it didn't end well. Didn't end well for the drug company either. Cost them a fortune. But these people were in permanent pain because the oil, if it was water-based, it would just dissipate. But the oil doesn't. So if you think of a lava lamp, they're injecting you with stuff that's going to stay in your spine forever and ever. Who thought that was a good idea? I certainly didn't. Oh, she's working on Moderna. Excellent. We've just got two million more doses of Moderna. Now, that's the one that works really well in the over 80s, isn't it? We had not ordered as much of that. I think we'd ordered 20 to 30 million doses of the AstraZeneca one. And from memory, somewhere between 3,000 to 5,000 million. Or is it 2 million of the Moderna? Not that much, I didn't think, for the age of the population. So they've got another five of Moderna, which is excellent. But you know, they're still not telling you. Now, turn up for your vaccination, you'll get a letter, just go in and let them inject you. With what? There's three vaccines out there. You know, the one that works best in the over 80s should be given to the over 80s. And the one, you know, it should be, because that's profiling in a kind of gentle way. If it's better for them, that's what they should have. The AstraZeneca one is weird. You're supposed to have half a dose and then a full dose a month later. So this business of being out by February, no chance, because there's got to be 4 weeks gap between them. And I remember my dentist telling me, between having your implants put in, so the actual sockets being put in your jaw, and they're stitched in some sort of way, and you have to go back for a second fitting. And I think the second fitting, they actually put, so at that point they're stitched, but at the second time you go back in, Kim will know all about this, she'll correct me, they're then putting in like a temporary thing, just a cover, it's not a tooth, because we take forever to do that here. I know you can do it in a day, that's not the way we work. Mind you, I don't want them putting one day and falling out the next, so I was quite happy to wait. But then this cover goes in, it's actually screwed in, so they take the stitches out and put that in. And when I went back for that, he walked past me and he looked a bit, I thought, you know, he's just ignored me. He's not in a good mood. You know, he's about to take a scalpel to my gums. I don't want him not in a good mood. When I got in, I realised he looked... Oh, a healing cap. I did not know it had a name. Excellent. He looked rough. And he said, "I'm so sorry," he said, "but I need to tell you." And he'd been in a staff meeting, and I don't know if it was coincidental, but in the staff meeting, he'd got a migraine. So he was stood there telling me he had a migraine, and he didn't feel that he would like to take a scalpel to anybody's gums, particularly mine. So could have come back, I think it was the next day or the day after. So I said, "Yeah, of course I can, not a problem." So he said, "The thing is, you know, we've got to do it because you can't leave it more than like 48 hours or we'll be gone past the point where it would be pleasant to do that." And I thought, oh dear, I hope I don't get a migraine or he gets another one. And I did go back and it was fine. But there's a very tight window, apparently, when this thing can be done. And I'm suspecting with the vaccine, it's going to be the same, which is going to be interesting, isn't it? If you've had half a vaccine and you're supposed to be going back for a full dose 4 weeks later, and in the meanwhile, you've got COVID or something else is wrong with you, and then you don't get the second bit, do we have to start again or what? And nobody knows that yet. They're voting next week on who gets the vaccine and in what order. I think we've already decided that. And they've also put a guy, I thought when they read his name out, it was a woman, but no, I can't remember his name. He's the business secretary, and he's got the job of overseeing the vaccine.
I thought it was a woman as well.
I can't imagine what the name must have been for me to think that. Why don't you have a look?
Anyway, Mike? Good evening, everybody.
Whoa, Mike's in. Right, yes. Get me some water out of there. That's how come the dog treats were all over the floor.
I've been doing the news, playing with the dog.
She's very demanding today.
Rescuing the football from the garage roof that I threw up there. Had to get a stick to get it down with. That's the one that's basically a rag.
Yes, but she likes it.
She does.
Leave it be.
The rope's a bit knackered.
The rope wasn't actually a rope. When the rope arrived, which was about 13 months ago.
Had a it piggy was a pig. On the end.
It was a rope folded in half with a pig's head on the join. And Rachel bought it for her. And Lola absolutely adores it. And despite the fact that the pig is long gone and the rope is in shreds, she won't part with it. Do not throw the rope away. It's one of her favourite toys. It's filthy. Right. Jonathan says, apparently the AZ Oxford one is the cheapest. So I hope Mike got his spreadsheet right and he didn't use the wrong formula. He also had the right format, Jonathan, so you could have more than 65,000 lines.
535.
Yes. But more than that. More than that. That's the one they'll go for. I mean, one, like you say, it's the cheapest. But two, it doesn't need the storage that the other ones do. You can just store it in the fridge. I'd be quite concerned about the ones that need to be stored at minus 70. Because if they're not, then the efficacy's gone. But how would you know that? I mean, does it turn purple?
Nadim Zahawi.
Yeah, Nadim. I think I'm thinking of Nadia. Or yeah. Nadia. Yes, but anyway, it's a guy and he's the business secretary. Wouldn't you think they'd have somebody medical to oversee the medical issue? So the fact they're putting the business secretary in, I think it's a given, Jonathan, that we'll all get the cheapest. So Anthony's concern is how many people will go back for the second jab? Because if they don't go, they've wasted a dose of the vaccine. Totally agree, Anthony. Leave a deposit? You must be kidding. I always think with NHS treatment, they should give you the bill. Not to pay it, just so you're aware of how much has been spent on your behalf. So like in America, when they give you like a 90-page bill and it's for like 300,000, you're thinking I only went in with like an ingrowing toenail. One of those. Can you imagine? I mean, people go in, particularly like maternity. Can you imagine what the bill actually would be? And people should be grateful that we've got it. And I think if some people just think it's free. But I remember my mum telling me about how my gran felt when the NHS first came in. They literally could not believe it was free. They would go to a doctor, but it would be like, you know, and I need to pay you. And the doctors would say, no, I'm an NHS doctor, and they wouldn't believe it. They just could not imagine that it was free at the point of consumption. So it would be nice if people could remember that these days, instead of standing there with a drum, banging it, saying, it's my right. No, it's not. Well, it is, but that's not the point. Be grateful for it, because if you're not, it'll go away. I remember being in there and people were nicking bandages to take home. And I thought, well, if you need a bandage, then you'd be wearing it. And if you don't need it, leave it for somebody who might do. And then people were saying, well, what are you going to do with like 3 boxes of bandages? Oh, I'm going to sell them. That's not how the NHS should be funded. Just saying. I find people's mindsets ludicrous.
Anyway, how's Kimmy's back?
We've no idea. We'll find out right now.
How's your back, Kimmy?
Do you remember?
Because you're calling me Mikey.
Do you remember when you used to leave a deposit on bottles?
I do.
You'd take bottles back and you would get the money back.
Yeah.
And if you could take the neighbour's bottles back, even better, you got the money off theirs. Oh, those were the days. Jonathan says it's the only one that can be used in third world countries as well. Doesn't need the expensive storage. That's exactly what I said to Mike, but they were saying, oh, they won't be able to use that one in hot countries. And I thought, well, you know, if it's frozen, it's frozen. If it's in some kind of device that can keep it at minus 70, it shouldn't really make a difference, but it might cost more. And some countries aren't going to have like the electricity reserves that they can draw on or be guaranteed. You know, if the power goes out and it goes out for too long. So I can see that being used in certain circumstances. And I know they were first with it, but it's not exactly an easy thing to do. Obviously, AstraZeneca were working with the different criteria. So one, it needs to be cheap, and two, it needs not to be in a freezer at minus 70. It's just the fact that we had a friend who came over from America for, I think it was a 2-week stay in a hotel. And the hotels, the rooms at this hotel did not have their own fridges. So they had to go to the hotel management and ask if they could put medication in a fridge. This medication needed to be refrigerated. So could they put it in a fridge and then they would retrieve it on a daily basis and use it and then put it back in the fridge? And they explained all this and they said, yep, absolutely fine. So into the fridge this stuff went. A new crew came in the kitchens and took this stuff out of the fridge and left it out all day, and then it couldn't be used. Now, you know, it had messages on, do not take out a fridge. Medication needs to be refrigerated. Leave it alone. And they still took it out and it couldn't be used. So they then had to get an emergency appointment. They had to pay privately to get an emergency appointment with a doctor, explain the situation and get more of this medication. But they were staying at that hotel. So they still needed to go back to that hotel with it and then risk it again, that it would be. Now, what if they'd taken it out, left it out all day, and we've been in kitchens at venues, haven't we, during your pee year? They're like an oven. And then put it back in. You would never know, and yet it wouldn't work.
One at the Conservative Club was like an oven.
Oh, I know. We'd bought a cake. Oh, no, I'd made that one. I'd know it was the 70th cake, the 700th cake. And I'd done this cake, and it had dark blue icing on it. I don't know what I was thinking. It was all over me. I looked like a Smurf. It was all over the kitchen. Never, ever again. And of course, you use icing sugar to stop the icing that you're rolling sticking to anything. The icing sugar is white. Did I mention the icing is navy blue? Then it looked like it had mould on it. I thought, never, ever again. So as I'm cursing, we got there with this cake and I said, well, we need to put it somewhere cool. So let's put it in the kitchen. We went into the kitchen. Well, it was like Dante's third circle of hell, wasn't it? It's like, where are we going to put this? Anyway, we ended up, well, luckily it was in a box. We ended up walking up this tiny corridor from the kitchen.
Yes, Johnny, there's a maroon tomorrow.
Yes, Mike just hasn't dated them. They'll be there. We ended up walking up this tiny corridor to what was in effect, although you didn't go down any stairs, the cellar for the bar. And that was obviously keeping all the spirits, beers, etc. cool. So we left it in there on top of a barrel, which was about right for the Catanians. If it could just suck up alcohol while it was in there, that would be even better. But it's far too hot. What I'd have done if I was that couple, because it must have cost them an absolute fortune for the drugs, because they didn't qualify for prescription prices, so you're paying full price. You might as well have landed at the airport, gone to a Currys PC World and bought a miniature fridge. It would have been far easier instead of making all this drama out of it and trusting people with your medication. I wouldn't let my medication out of my sight. Where was that hotel? Because, you know, some of those kitchen staff, I could imagine next, you know, they're in Withy selling it.
I can't remember.
Which one was it?
I can't remember which one it was.
I've got a sneaking suspicion it was Cheadle somewhere.
Was it the Village?
Must have been. That's the only one that was up there. Really posh hotel then. And they still stuffed it up. Yes, there's going to be a marooned Jonathan. Have you done those dates yet?
Yeah, I've done this week's.
Right, I'll get them. Just so Jonathan can see it, I'll get them on the calendar.
Yeah, you and acid him.
You tell them all how behind you are and that it's not me. I duplicated them all. Mike just needed to get them numbered correctly.
Right, I could do that now. It'll take me a while.
There's the whole of next week, and what I need to do is switch the calendar from the private MacBytes to the public MacBytes. Right, let's turn off the admin one. Excellent! The whole of next week is sorted, Jonathan. I can't take it any further than that, can I? Because they're not dated, right?
No.
He'll get on to it. It's one of his many jobs. Obviously, he needs to look after me first. Then he needs to look after Lola. I might let him look after himself third. And then he's got all the work to do, haven't you?
Yeah.
Hey, come on, I was redesigning Notion. I was having ideas about Notion. I saw on my list of upcoming topics Notion 2021, and that was it. That kind of distracted myself and haired off down the could I do this and what if I did that route. Oh, I do love doing that. Do you know what I've put on my calendar now, Mike?
What have you put on your calendar?
You will all appreciate this. Right, I'm thinking to myself, and I've said to you, on a quarterly basis, you need to reevaluate all your systems. So, we missed a quarter. We didn't do the end of September, October one. So, I'm now itchy and twitchy with that needs fixing and I need to create that. So, I thought I need to put it on my calendar. But it's like, well, do I just put on it like admin? Notion admin, because that, I don't know about you, that does not thrill me. So I decided, because I've got two things to do. I need to sort out more with PowerPoint, because obviously I'm running on 2 weeks' knowledge of PowerPoint, which is dangerous. So I need more information about PowerPoint, and I need to do the Notion stuff. So I thought, I know what I'll call it. I will time block my calendar, and I will put in there a session for Notion, which is basically admin, and a session for PowerPoint, which is basically learning, experimenting. But I'll call them PowerPoint Playtime and Notion Playtime. Can't wait for them now. Call them admin. Run away screaming. So there's lots of playtime bits on my calendar. Mike's rolling his eyes. Jonathan's a happy boy now. That's all right.
I thought he'd gone.
No, that's further up. Further up. I'm catching up. Now, you see, Kim's sensible. She got a cooler and kept ice in it and travelled it. Because that way you know where it's been and you know you can trust yourself. You would know if there was an issue and it had got over warm. Why they would have trusted this, I do not know. I really don't. I mean, you can get it. It was literally like a small bottle. I think it was liquid. I think it was for kidneys, wasn't it?
I don't know.
It wasn't his, it was hers, so I think it was kidneys. Something for kidney that needed to be kept cool. But it was so small, you'd have got it in what we call a beer fridge. It's a tiny little plasticky fridge thing that keeps six tins of beer cold. It would have gone in that. These things are about £20. Just buy one. Donate it to charity on your way back to the States, but just buy one. I mean, they must have done something with it at home. They live in Texas. It's not exactly renowned for being cool, is it? Wrong end of the country for that. I'm right, aren't I? That's near Hawaii. I know it's not, but it is on the map I saw. No, it's down in the south, isn't it? Near all those the Alabama ones. that I didn't know about. Those. It's down there, down that way. But they did put Alaska and Hawaii down there. That's how I knew they're in the wrong place, because I know Alaska's cold and Texas isn't. So they definitely should not have been next door to each other. We do that, don't we, with the Isle of Man and the Isles of Scilly. Move them around.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, because when you actually see where they are, you think, oh, didn't know they were there. They're not there on the weather map. On the weather map, they move them nearer. You shouldn't move stuff. It only confuses me. Perhaps coming from an American perspective, it's unthinkable not to have a fridge minibar in a hotel room, however low the category. That's just not true here, though. And although the lady in question is American...
Oh, it's Arthur tonight.
Oh, Asda. Asda Arthur. Arthur from Asda.
Yeah.
The guy was born and brought up here. He's only lived there for probably about 15 years. So he should definitely have known that, you know. Plus the fact, wouldn't you at least ask? Because they might have been able to arrange one if you'd have had a need for it. I mean, we went to a hotel with that gang, didn't we? About 12 years ago, maybe more. And we walked into this hotel room. So about 2008, 2009. Certainly no later than that. We walked in and there's a network cable. And I looked at Mike and I said, what, it's got the internet? I mean, we went away only 2 years before, 2006. What were we like? We didn't have an iPhone. So we had like a standard phone that could just about make a phone call. If you were high enough and the wind was in the right direction. And we had no access to our email or the internet whatsoever. We ended up asking the hotel for a phone book so we could find an internet cafe.
Internet cafe.
We ended up in a place called Godalming, which I think is Godalming. Tracy will correct me here. I'm sure he said it was Godalming.
Godalming.
Godalming? I don't know. Tracy will know. Tracy knows everything. So I think that's where it was. And it was called the Blue something, wasn't it? Something like a bluebird.
No idea.
Well, we wandered in and it was actually a design shop. And what he'd done was he'd put two really old looking now PCs on a bench. And that was the internet cafe. So there we were with, and I had a pen drive round my neck, honestly, on a lanyard that I put in, and that had all a text file on it with all my passwords in, so I could get into my email. Oh, God, weren't we cutting edge 2006? Yeah. But, you know, we got our email and stuff and we had a lovely chat with the guy, which was bizarre, the coincidence, wasn't it? We were down there in, because we weren't staying in Godalming. We were staying, where were we staying? Not Richmond, the other one. Guildford. We were staying in Guildford, which is a little further north than Godalming. And we'd gone to see a play, and the play was a version of a book with from John Fowles, the French Lieutenant's Woman, which was an amazing play. And obviously I'd read the book, I'd seen the film, and we were now seeing the play, the three-hour epic. So the guy was asking, you know, you've got need of an internet cafe, you know, are you visiting, are you on holiday? So we told him all about it, and that we were watching, we were going to see this play. And when we told him what the book was that it was based on, he said, oh, good grief. And he had met the guy, hadn't he? And there he was chatting away with us. That he'd met the guy and he'd had a chat here who'd actually written the book. So we had a whale of a time. But, you know, it was an internet cafe. So when we walked in, there was the internet. And it was wired internet. So it was none of this Wi-Fi rubbish. It was wired internet. And I'd taken a hub with me, you know, just in case. That was to set up our own internal network. So we basically just plugged in the equipment we'd taken with us and we had our own little network and away we went. Oh, it was fantastic. But obviously they didn't need the internet. They needed a fridge. But I think I would take one, wouldn't they? I would take one with me. I always remember, Kim, I don't know if this is still a thing, but it's not a thing in the UK. But I was watching this film and there was a motel involved. And they came out of the room and they had like a bucket with them. And they went to like the end of the row of rooms and there was an ice chest. And you actually like put the bucket in the ice chest and that's how you get ice into each individual room. I think I'm taking that to be genuine. But if I tell you the film was Psycho 2, I thought maybe not. You tell me, is that what happens? We don't really have ice-making facilities or anything like that, do we?
No.
You'd go down to the bar for that, and they'd put it in a pint glass and take it, and you'd take it back up. At a high-end hotel, you'd expect a fridge. Oh, well, when we went to Alverston in February, it had everything. It didn't it? Ironing boards, irons, hair dryers, huge TVs. Yes, plural, two TVs. It had everything, including a fridge. I vaguely remember somebody having an accident with that fridge when he overloaded it with Toblerone.
Oh, yeah.
He opened the door and this Toblerone flew halfway across the room. I said, I think you've overloaded that. The bar fridge. Ah, and I see Paul's got his priorities right.
Yeah, I saw that.
Texas is right by Hawaii on election map. It moves, doesn't it? Every 4 years, there's a migration south and then back it goes. Alaska was the bizarre one to me because I think, isn't the side of Alaska, not the side that's against whatever sea it's near, water, ocean, whatever, the other side of it, isn't it dead straight? Because your map is amazing to me, how straight the borders are. Our borders go all over the place, but your borders can be so straight. So when they moved Alaska down to Texas as well, it could look like, you know, oh, there's just an island off the coast of Texas. Who knew? Rather big one, but this dead straight side to it makes it look even more weird. You know, I struggle with the American map. I know the basics of it. You know, I know where Seattle is. I know where LA is, and New York and Maine and some of the southern states. But the bits in the middle are all a bit hazy. So it's all a bit hazy to start with on election night. When they're talking about Georgia, I'm like, okay, pin the tail on the donkey. But that's over on the right, I think. You prove wrong now. It's all the middle bit that's very hazy. Very hazy. We had a quiz over here, and one of the questions was, what states of America have a border with a foreign country, I think it was. So obviously, mainly the Canadian thing at the top they were working towards. And I thought, I don't really have a clue. And then I thought, well, Chicago's fairly far north, isn't it? So that'd be Illinois. That was as far as I got. I literally had no idea which states were between where you are and Illinois. But they've got a lovely straight border with Canada. Those ones. Not a clue. I always find it really funny that it borders Canada and Russia. That's just really bizarre. But it hangs off Canada. Russia in the winter if the Bering Strait freezes. That must be, no wonder she, wasn't that one of those famous sayings from Sarah Palin? I can see Russia from my front door. Like this is something one would brag about. Strange lady. I actually quite fancy Alaska because I think like it's really cold and I like really cold. So yeah, I could go visit there. But then it's a bit far, isn't it? And anyway, no one's visiting anywhere. Ah, the ice chests are common in the US. So it wasn't an artistic license for Psycho 2. Have you ever seen Psycho 2? The bit with the icebox, I know it's supposed to be a thriller. I was laughing like a drain. It was fabulous. It basically, he's put one of the bodies in the box and it covered it up with ice, keep it cool, as it were. And the thing was, the policeman is there and he's dipping his hand in, like taking ice out and crunching this ice, actually eating it. And as he's picking it out, he's not watching the fact that the piece he's picking up is covered in blood and he's just eating it. I love that bit. Oh, she didn't actually say it. Good grief, I've misquoted the woman. Now, Tina Fey, I do know, because she did do a fantastic job of being Sarah Palin. You could barely tell them apart. So clearly I have misquoted her. Didn't somebody mention in relation to her, and I've no idea which way round this was, something about putting lipstick on a pig? But I don't know whether it was an insult to her or whether she said it. No idea. It was all over the news, but, you know, we don't look at the news over here, do we? I've not touched the news today. I've got the pandas on standby for when I do, but at the moment, not looked at them. Let's have a look. Kim was lucky when she got flooded out of the house and had to live in a hotel for a month. Microwaved your dinners for you and they had a fridge. That's good, isn't it? That, well, not being good having to leave home. You probably wouldn't want Mike to visit. He did that, didn't you? That was in Atlanta, wasn't it? You flooded the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't your fault, though, was it?
No.
No. No, it wouldn't be. And in 1984, oh, I remember 1984, summer job with Canvas Holidays on a campsite miles from anywhere, Western Brittany. Accommodation is posh family-sized tents and a few static caravan-type cabins. Couples turn up, ask if we can store the diabetes pen. Responsibles, we were the only ones with a fridge. They were there for a week. Good grief. It shows you, though, people do need facilities like that, not just for convenience, but actually they can be essential. And when you think that the rules regarding accessibility for rooms now, and we know this with Ellen, you know, everywhere you go, you've got to triple check. It's not a nicety. You know, Ellen can't get in. If they can't take a chair, she can't get in. And even if she can get in, some of the things that you might not think about. One place we went and they had, and it said it had an accessible bathroom. And the thing was, the accessible bathroom was identical to the bathroom we had. And there was a shower cubicle. And yes, there was a, like a hand grip on it, but there wasn't a seat in there. So there was a hand grip that you could reach across and grab, technically speaking. I tried that. You could not reach this handle until you'd stepped in. And the step was 6 inches off the floor. So even I struggled to get in. Mike was like, this is ridiculous. When we met up with Stuart and Ellen, Stuart said, shower's a farce, isn't it? And they'd been down and said they'd specifically asked for a wheel in. So one that's flat, so you can just wheel in. And then you can shift from the chair to a seat. Well, one, it wasn't flat, and two, it didn't have a seat even then. And all they'd say was, yes, but it's got a handle. She's in a wheelchair. What do you expect us to do? Strap her to it? Utterly ridiculous. But there are strict rules with that. You'd think they'd think about other things that people needs that people have. And you know, freezing drugs is going to be more and more important by the look of it. So, well, not freezing them, but, you know, keeping them cool. Oh, dear. Right, where am I? Wow, Pike's Peak. I'm going to have to look up Pike's Peak, aren't I? We can't see much, to be honest.
We can see the Buxton Hills.
Not from here. Not actually from here. No. You can if you go somewhere like, if we go to the nearest IKEA, which is in Ashton, you can basically see Yorkshire.
Mm.
Because, you know, you're on the top of the IKEA building. But we're quite low, I think, to see anything like that. We need to climb, put it like that.
I used to be able to see United's floodlights from the motorway until they took them down.
Oh, yes, you could see those for miles, but you can't now. Right, so when you look up Pike's Peak, Alaska's also bordered by the Arctic. You see, that would work. That would work. Polar bears. Right, I'm looking at this now. Pike's Peak, summit in Colorado, and there's a map. Excellent, I shall have a look at that. She did say lipstick on a pig, but it's a common phrase there. I've heard it here, but not frequently. Not frequently. We're much more likely to use the phrase, which basically means the same, fur coat, no knickers. Putting on a show. 107 miles away. Wow. I think the only part of the UK that would be flat enough to see that, well, not even that far, would be Norfolk. Norfolk is incredibly flat. You can see for miles. That must be huge, though. Oh, it's a national park. Excellent. I shall have a look at that as well. Mutton dressed as lamb. That's another one, Anthony. Oh, Anthony, I was talking about you last night. I don't think you were here. I was mentioning a book I was reading, and it's based in Bradford, and I'm learning all kinds of things. It's about a young man. One of them is him and his wife, and they're having a baby. And one of them is a Sikh, and one of them is a Muslim. This is not a good thing, apparently. Both families disowned the pair of them. And I was saying that the guy that's doing the VO, I thought his voice is absolutely perfect. I thought he had a great accent for it. But people in the comments are saying, like, didn't like the voice. And I'm listening and I'm thinking, sounds like Bradford to me. Really sounds like Bradford. So I have you in my mind as I'm listening to it. Much more polite.
Anyway, changing the subject, do you know what day it is today?
Sunday. It's definitely Sunday.
Yeah. It's National Chocolate Day.
Is it?
Yeah.
We've been swindled.
I've done my biannual trip onto Twitter. when we went 2-0 down, I wanted to see what FFS had to say, and he said FFS. But next to FFS's tweet was a tweet from somebody else. And it said National Chocolate Day. So I had a conversation with this person who we both know well.
Carrie?
No.
Oh.
Shelley. Mm. And I said that a number of galaxies may have made their way to last night's shopping order with a number of Toblerones and Dairy Milk coming tonight.
They were only bought to keep the others company. Anyway, never mind you pigging out. Good grief, what about the dog?
Oh, yeah, she's pigged out.
Oh, she when she came last year, in fact, she'd been coming for over a year by then, hadn't she? She was so delicate and feminine. And she would toddle in and she would sit there so patiently and wait for things. And like, look, basically, do a Princess Diana from under the fringe, she would do. Ever so delicate. She barged in here before, thwacked the door open, dived over to a treat box and stuck her head in it. And I watched and I said to Mike, she's just becoming mayor, isn't she? More every day. Can you get your head out of that treat box? So we get the treats out. Which ones would you like, Lola? And she looked along the row of treats lined up, looked up at me, and I swear I mentally heard the words, one of everything, thank you, Mum. So starts her off on a little chamaco, and then there was a tripe steak. God, they whiff. A tripe steak as dual purpose. Sniff it, you know you've not got COVID. Moves along the row. She ends up with a dentist stick, so off she goes with a dentist stick. We have to do high fives for a dentist stick. Off she toddles. She then comes back in, looks at the box and actually puts her paw on the one treat she'd not had, rodeo stick. Would not settle till she'd had a rodeo stick. Once she'd got the rodeo stick, off she toddled. Not a peep since. She knows she's a girl who knows what she wants.
Yeah, she's had a good tug, she's had a good run around, she's had two good trots and she's now full of dog treats.
I'm going to find the name of this book for Anthony. Because I've got absolutely no idea what it's called, which is shocking, isn't it? Since I'm listening to it. Right, hang on. Audible, library, books. Where's it gone?
I think that was the Asda man early.
Is it?
I don't know.
Oh, I'll put the CCTV on if you want.
He'll be here till half eight, but last week he was.
He was early last week, you know he was. Where's it disappeared? Oh, there it is, Streets of Darkness. And if I put my glasses on, I can read the smaller print and tell you who it is. A.A. Dehand, D-H-A-N-D. Streets of Darkness. It's basically, I think it's billed as The Wire meets something. Let's have a look. Luther meets The Wire. It's the first in the Detective Harry Verdi audiobooks. The sky over Bradford is heavy with foreboding. It always is, but this morning it has more reason to be. This morning a body has been found and it's not just anybody. And then it rattles away. But it's not a bad listen. It's not a bad listen. But I just think that the guy they've got reading it, which is Muzz Khan, I think he's perfect for it. I don't know why anybody's complaining. But then I guess maybe he has what I think of as a Bradford accent. And maybe if you heard it, you would say, no, that's not a Bradford accent. Go to Audible and look it up. And you'll get the like 5 minutes free so you can work it all out. None of the cameras are working, Mike. I just have a blank screen.
Oh.
Which is fabulous, isn't it? The one time you need it. You don't want me to log in again, aren't you, just because you can?
No, it's fine.
Not you, the software.
He'll ring. He'll ring.
It's logged me out.
If he's that early.
He won't ring if he's on time. Have you noticed
that?
No,
but I'll be downstairs.
Right, let's have a touch ID to use the password.
I've got stuff to do down there.
Log in. Oh, yes, because it's book club today. Book club was finishing today, but we're doing an extra week because the author's coming next week.
When are we going to dig into that giant Toblerone?
When when I've got my camera out of the drawer.
Yeah. We've got to do videos and all kinds of stuff.
And we've got new tech coming, so everything's going to have to be ready for when the new tech comes as well, isn't it?
But yeah, you see, I keep having to buy little Toblerones because I can't dig into the big one.
We'll dig it out. Didn't we put it in the back room?
It's in the back room.
Right, there you go. I've no idea where the Asimons going to park.
No, because...
Have you seen that?
Yeah,
there?
It's like a car park.
Yeah, let's play spot the car.
Spot the space.
Why would you park there? It's only going to take a car coming round that corner and that car's gone.
Not my problem.
It is if it ends up in our front garden. Idiots. Mind you, that wall's a little bit dodgy.
Did you
there.
See that crash?
Which one? Oh, yes,
the one
I did.
The motor racing.
The motor racing crash. I did. I couldn't believe you walked away from there. Right, where am I? One way you could tell a mutton from a lamb is by their teeth. I'm loving that one. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Catching up. We can't see anything like that. Oh, Tracy, that's an excellent point. Absolutely. I can't expect Mike to tackle the new kit without a giant Toblerone. There you go. Going to have to be before the kit arrives.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say he's finishing for work on Friday, which means between now and Friday, we have to have a plan for the next 4 weeks to get everything squeezed in as much as possible. So we definitely need the office sorting out, ready for the new kit. That's the time to sort the cables out. I hate that time. So, yes, they're going to have to be sorted out. I was thinking, while the computer is not on the desk, which is like once every blue moon, might be a good idea to put a little shelf up that I've got. But then I'd have to get the drill out. Can I be bothered? We'll see. We'll see how that bit goes. What else needs doing? Oh, I was thinking about the lighting. We could do something with the lighting while we're doing that.
Mm.
But all we'll end up doing is just, you know, emptying the dustbins and saying, right, we're done. New kit. See, there, Tracy can see the Pyrenees from their kitchen. All we can see from the kitchen is the side of the garage and a car. That's it. Not exciting at all. It does look quite nice from the bedroom window when it snows. But other than that, no, we don't have great views. We have fantastic facilities where we live, but the views leave a little bit to be desired. But you can get to nice places, can't you, without going too far?
Yeah.
Like three Apple stores within 45 minutes. One of them only 2 miles away. Dunham's beautiful to go to. And lots of restaurants and things. When we used to go to restaurants and things. Do you remember the Italian we went to with your mother?
Yeah.
Well, your mum and dad. It was gorgeous. And I don't really eat Italian. I can't, because obviously...
That's shut.
They don't... Well, it's shut now. They're all shut. I don't eat anything with pasta or spaghetti in it. So we have to, like, look at the menu with, like, what's safe. They did... Was it meatballs?
Yeah.
The starter was meatballs. And I thought, well, you know, and I said, is this gluten-free? Yes, it is. So I thought, I'll have that. Not really expecting anything great. They were gorgeous. And then the main course, one time I had the chicken, didn't I? Which was nice. What did we have last time? Because we all wanted the same. Was it lamb?
I can't remember.
Oh, but it was gorgeous. Never had food as nice as that. But we haven't been able to go because obviously they're closed. Mm. We even gatecrashed a kid's party, didn't we?
This is our open Christmas Day.
A lot of people go for an Indian on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
I must admit, which I would never have thought of that. But then, you know, we would be having a traditional Christmas dinner. Well, my mum put a traditional Christmas dinner on until I was probably about 18. And once I was 18, this was so funny. She said, do you want breast of chicken or leg of chicken at turkey? And I said, I actually quite like the leg. So she said, yeah, so does your dad. She said, trouble is, so does your gran. So unless she'd got a deformed turkey that happened to have three legs, we couldn't all have a leg. So I said, yeah, but mum, they sell turkey legs at the butcher's. And she went, you're right, they do. Leave it with me, she said. So she lets everybody see the turkey. So she wheels the turkey in. There's the turkey. And the turkey has, I can guarantee it, two legs. When she brings the stuff back, she said, I'll go and serve it now. And she takes it out of the room. When she comes back, there's a leg on my plate, a leg on Dad's plate, and a leg on Gran's plate, and nobody said a thing. You remember that? Absolute classic. Nobody noticed that the bird ended up with three legs. She just sat there smirking her way through Christmas dinner. But a couple of years after that, probably after Gran died, because with Gran it all had to be very traditional. Well, after she died, she said, what do you want for Christmas? And what we used to do was we had a family Christmas meal on Christmas Eve. And that, before I met Mike, that was just me, mum and dad. And then Mike joined us. But that was like traditionally our meal. We didn't have to put on any airs and graces. We could eat whatever we wanted. That was our meal. So we always, when she like, what do you want? It was always beef. Never turkey. Never. We always wanted beef. So once Gran died, Mum's on about, you know, turkey for Christmas. And I'm like rolling my eyes thinking, God, do we have to? And she looked at me and she said, do you fancy something else instead? I said, well, I'm not overly fond of turkey. I can eat it, but... So she said, I quite fancied lamb. I said, done, let's have lamb. So every Christmas since, it's been lamb. We don't bother with the turkey. So someone's going to have to work out how we're going to cook the lamb this year, aren't they?
I'll do.
If I could find her recipe for gluten-free pastry, we could have like a lamb. We used to have a thing that was pastry, and she made it first with the standard pastry with wheat flour in, and it was just, it was like the top off a pie, so it was like a thinnish crust of pastry, and it was gorgeous. And what she'd do was she would make the most amazing beef, but she would serve it in a little bowl, and she would put this circle of pastry on the top of it, so like a pie. The taste, the flavour of this pastry was just to die for. But what used to happen was, as you started eating it, because the beef was in gravy, it would sink into the gravy as you were going. So there wasn't really a name for this. It was like I'm trying to describe it to you as like a pie lid, or, you know, it was pastry and it was this thick. So it needed a name. And she said, the thing I put on the beef. And I said, the sinking slowly. So it became known as a sinking slowly. If I could find the gluten-free version, because she did, it took quite a while to get it right, but she did manage to make a gluten-free version, then we could have a sinking slowly and beef. But that would necessitate me being in the kitchen, which is never a good idea. But we'll see how we go. I see Anthony's brother was going out. Yeah, we've got friends that go out every year for an Indian. It never occurred to me. Now, I don't do Indian, but the Chinese are open as well. So we could have done that, but no, it's not happening this year, is it? Let's be honest, folks. Not this year. Maybe next year. Who knows? You remember, it was all going to be over in 12 weeks. Boris said so. And I think Donald Trump said it was going to be over in 5 minutes. So all the politicians, totally wrong. Totally wrong. We're still sat here. Tracy always tries to do traditional Christmas dinner, if only with a chicken. Dr. Sun requests it year after year, either Christmas Day or one of the main meals. I don't mind turkey, but not as like, I wouldn't be cooking a full turkey. I might get a turkey crown and do that. It's just a whole lot easier than the rest of it. And obviously we can't have the traditional stuffing either, because that's got gluten in it. So it's just, I think we just prefer beef. But I probably will do some kind of turkey, something, at Christmas. We'll see how it goes. Good job we like meat, isn't it?
It is.
Because I'm off potatoes. So it's going to be, whatever it is, we'll just be with veg. Do you know, I can see us ending up, not necessarily Christmas Day, but something like an egg on toast.
Well, I had an omelette tonight with chips.
See, I'm off gluten-free bread at the moment. Even that was making me feel queasy. So I had to come off the gluten-free bread as well. I think there's just something in bread. Bread does not like me at all. So although we've been having some in lockdown, because, you know, you can freeze it, which makes life a whole lot easier. It's in the freezer. So I might partake of some at Christmas, but I'm going to leave it until then. But we could set the clock by what we had. It was beef and sinking slowly, Christmas Eve. Traditional Christmas fare on Christmas Day. Cold turkey on Boxing Day. Sliced meat with pickles.
Yeah. For the rest of the week.
And the rest of the week, sweets. As I recall life, sweets. I would always put on at least £7 at Christmas. And then I'd be so shocked and disgusted with myself, it'd be off again in January. But it was the one time of the year when, you know, you can just have what you want. And I did. Possibly far too much. Oh, shortcuts pastry. Oh, Dove's Farm. Mum used to buy their products. She would buy her flour from there. So if there is a recipe, she may well have started with that one. But she used to tinker with them. Because the recipes, they would put stuff in like guar gum, which has a most unfortunate effect if taken to excess. So she would tweak it slightly with various different flours. If you mix like potato flour and rice flour, you get a totally different effect. So she was like a scientist in the kitchen. Just leave her to it. And, you know, 6 weeks later, she'd come out and she'd have like, literally, it was like Edison with the light bulbs. She'd found the 300 ways that didn't work. And she would present you with it and she'd say, this is the one. And you'd try it and it would be completely perfect. So thank you for that. Yes, Dove's Farm, there's a blast from the past. Weren't they behind that one we went to in Blackburn? There was a special gluten-free event. We had Maya because you had him outside and I took her in. And it was at Blackburn Football Ground. And they'd like hired out the executive suite. And when you went in, they gave you like a bag, a big carrier bag. They also gave you another bag, which was huge. And it was a drawstring bag that you could wear like a rucksack. It was absolutely full of free products. Biscuits, cakes, breads, crackers, all kinds of stuff. And they gave it to you free. I think the whole event was free, wasn't it?
I think it was.
You know, so you would try it and then you could think, well, you know, I'll go and buy that now I've tried it. Because in like a loaf of bread can be £5. Now, I don't know actually how much is a loaf of bread these days? Because back then a loaf of bread would be about 30 pence.
£2.50 for gluten-free.
Well, at least they're cheaper because they're about £5. So you wouldn't try them unless you're pretty sure you liked them. So by giving you all this stuff, so of course we staggered out and on the way out, it was like, do you want another bag? We staggered out and it looked like Cracker Jack, didn't it? We staggered out with that many bags. We went, do you think we'll get them all in the car? Because there's three of us and Maya. So we stacked the boot absolutely high with this stuff. So they were very, very good. They were very good to us. And all the stuff that was on during the day as well, you know, they provided you with meals while you were there. And it was just like a promotional event, but they did have doctors there that you could talk to and they did presentations. It was a really, really good day. And good that they put it on for people. And there was a lot of people there that had been newly diagnosed. And they were like, I'm eating nothing at the minute. So they were well impressed with what you could actually get. So I shall have a look at what's needed for that and then ponder if it's a good idea to make my way to the kitchen. You know, like you go on Twitter twice a year and I get into the kitchen twice a year. That. The kitchen's kind of a gateway to the outside of the house. But seeing as though I don't need to be outside the house anymore, I don't really frequent the kitchen much anymore either. Anyway, I'm going to head off to book club. I've got to log in. So I hope you've had a good night. Yes. What's that thing? Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. Yes, Virginia, there is more maroons. I think we've put in another month, you know, because like lockdown is going to be retired on the 3rd of February, according to Boris. That is when we're going into levels. If you've missed all that, check the chat out. That was early doors in the chat. It's a lockdown by any other name, but he's promised we'll be out of tears into something else. Looking forward to that, Boris. But for the moment, until tomorrow, it is good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.